Happy Sunday. I am Camille. Welcome to the Outlet at Home. Hi, visitors. How are you? Can't wait to meet you in person one day. And hi, family. How y'all doing? I hope you had a great week. And if you didn't, guess what? It's another one, and it's going to be good. I feel it in my spirit. Hey, it's been such a long time since we've seen each other. So Pastors Ash and Vince, they want to chat with you after service in our Zoom room. So go ahead and click the link after service so we can see how you're doing. Look at your face, as my girl would say. Are you ready for worship? I am ready for worship. But before we prepare for worship, go ahead and subscribe to this channel so you're always getting what we're doing and the sermons up to date. And also, send this to a family or friend that needs some inspiration, or just somebody that you're like, hey, it's a loud motorcycle, that you're like, hey, this is my church, get this word. All right, clear the room, go in your car, go in your office. It's worship time, and then it's word time. Vince, bring that word. I love y'all. Bye.
Through it all,
you're all. Hey, I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church, and I want to thank you for being a part of today's Outlet at Home experience. It is my honor, whether you're watching live, whether you're listening to the podcast, or whether you're just tuning in and finding this video, I want to thank you for tuning in today. And before I go forward starting our new series, I want to thank a special group of people, and those people are you. My wife and I want to thank you from the bottom of our heart that during these 6 months that we have been strictly online, you all have been faithful to watch, to share, and to support what God is doing through our ministry. And it's been one of our life's joys to be your pastors and to lead you through these times, because I feel as though, as I'm talking to you through the camera, that you all are giving me back that same energy. We thank you for all of your encouraging words, all of your encouraging texts. And I just believe that as we continue to band together, that we are going to make it through this season and emerge even stronger. Well, I am excited to begin a new series that has been on my heart for some time. I believe that in these moments, it's important for us to understand why we believe what we believe, but also to grow deeper in what I call the fundamentals of faith. Now, the message that I'm going to be teaching for the next 4 weeks is something that we all have heard before, but I'm going to present it from a different perspective. And if you have your Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 1. And what we're going to be looking at in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 4 on today, is the beginning of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes. And I want to give you an insight into this particular sermon. If you look at the scriptures in of themselves, it looks as though Jesus sat on the mountain at one time and taught all of the lessons from the Sermon on the Mount on one sitting. But what scholars have been able to deduce is that the Sermon on the Mount is actually an encapsulation of all of the teaching lessons of Christ. Yes, that's right. The Sermon on the Mount is a summary of all of the main themes of Jesus Christ. So if you're a person out there that says, man, I want to go deeper and I want to learn about what Christ said, I'm going to give you a pro tip in getting there quicker. Understand the thematic thrust of the main topics in the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll be able to see the thread or the approach or the perspective in which Jesus approached his earthly ministry. In fact, studying this sermon has been completely exhilarating. It has rejuvenated my faith, and it's giving me some inspiration for how to live in these times that we're living today. If I had to bring it into to today's vernacular, the Sermon on the Mount basically established the platform of the kingdom of God. You see, in election season, we have candidates that are going to be communicating their platform, what their party stands for, what they believe in, what they will be championing. Well, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no democracy in the kingdom of God. And in the rulership and in the lordship of Jesus Christ, there are four main themes that Jesus is about. He was that way yesterday, he's that way today, and he's that way forevermore. So the platform, the standing, the values of Christ will not change. And the moment that we're able to embrace them and to be able to unpack them and to be able to study them, it, I believe, will cause us to grow in a deeper and a more authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's pick up in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 1. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. What is noted in verse 2 is as Jesus began to sit down, it was a common phrase amongst linguistics of that time to note that when a rabbi or a person of importance was about to deliver something life-changing and was about to deliver something near and dear to their heart, the rabbi would sit down, and all of those who respected the rabbi would stand up to listen to what he had to say. And again, this was a mode or method of Christ that when it was time for him to pour into those in which he loved, his disciples, which I'm so glad that you and I who have accepted Christ are considered his disciples, that not only did he want to pour this information into his disciples then, I believe that he wants to pour this information into his disciples today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we're about to delve into what you believe is important, what your platform is, your values, God, I'm asking that you open our heart to love what you love, to despise what you despise, to champion what you champion. But you're going to give us the rubric. You're going to give us the model. So help us to shape our perspective. Help us to shape our lens. God, I'm praying for every person listening, every person watching. May you speak to us in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2016, the motion picture Hidden Figures was an unbelievable true story as the United States raced against Russia to put a man in space. NASA found an untapped talent in a group of African-American female mathematicians that served as the brains behind one of the greatest operations in U.S. history. Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson, and Katherine Johnson were known as human computers, and they quickly rose the ranks of NASA alongside many of history's greatest minds, specifically tasked with calculating the momentous launch of John Glenn into orbit and guaranteeing his safe return. You see, these ladies, these hidden figures, crossed all gender, race, and professional lines. While their brilliance and desire to dream big beyond anything ever accomplished before by the human race firmly cemented these ladies in U.S. history as true American heroes. You see, we are familiar with America making its mission toward the moon, but it wasn't until recent time that we became familiar with the hidden figures behind the operation. And when we embark on the Sermon on the Mount, there are things, there are metrics, there are bases for success that we can all generally subscribe to, whether it's a level of wealth, whether it's a level of status, whether it's a completion of a degree, it's the opening of a business, it's starting something that we always believed in our heart. Those are things that we see on the outside, but there are hidden figures at work on the inside to help produce what God has called us to do in our life. And in Matthew chapter 3, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to teach. He begins to teach using the word blessed. And before I begin reading verses 3 and 4 today, I need to give you the definition of the word blessed. You see, in the Greek, the word blessed means the hidden blessing of resting in God's love to produce depth from within. This is a unique definition because typically when you see the word blessed, you see the word eulogio. Eulogio is where we get the word eulogy. And eulogies are given at the end of someone's life where you speak highly of them and hopefully you're remembering all of the good times and the good things in which they've done. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus does not use the Greek word eulogio, but he uses the Greek word makairos. And it's important to note the difference between eulogio and makairos, because eulogio mentions the blessing in the end. Makairos talks about the blessing right now. So what Christ is saying, and he wants us to understand, is that we're not waiting to be blessed. We're not waiting until a season that is uncomfortable is over for us to proclaim that we're blessed and we're living according to God's plan for our life. What Jesus wants his disciples, and I believe what he wants all of us to see even right now, is that no matter what circumstance or situation you find yourself in, there is a blessing in the midst. And so the series that we are going to begin today is entitled Hidden Blessings. Come on, someone type in hidden blessings. You see, there's a hidden blessing in every moment of your life. And so it's important for us to not allow our minds to wander into the future, into the next adventure, into the next prospect, into the next goal, into the next task. But it's important for us to look right here and now and take an evaluation of our life and say, God, show me the blessing in the moment that I'm in. But as I mentioned, there were four themes that Jesus preached on. And I want to give you all four of those. We're only going to cover one today, but over the course of the series, we'll touch all four. And the four themes that we're going to look at to find the hidden blessing in, number one is in the area of grief. Number two, we're going to look at the hidden blessing of mercy and compassion. Number three, we're going to look at the hidden blessing of reconciliation. And we're going to close out this series looking at the hidden blessing of persecution. So let's begin with the first theme on grief. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so as we first look at the theme of Christ in the form of grief, I want you to understand that grief is a natural part of life. Grief is a part of life where whenever there's a change that takes place, whether it's a change that we caused or a change that's outside of our control, we experience a level of grief based off of the level of attachment and the level of relationship determines the level of grief that is present for us to be a part of. Now, there are times where because of the pain that's associated with grief, we choose to maybe not deal with it at the moment. But one thing about grief is that if it goes unresolved, eventually we will have to face the areas we run from. And I find it ironic that with Christ, he is very, very focused as one of his themes on how do we properly deal with the grief that's associated with life. Again, this is a major tenet of Christ. Dr. Granger Westberg said that when we go through any significant grief experience, we come out of it as different people. Depending upon the way we respond to this event, we're either stronger people than we were before or weaker, either healthier in spirit or sicker. Meaning all of us are going to face experiences in our life that we have a choice, not as to what happens, but how will we respond to what is taking place. And Christ was focused on what will the response of those who learn of me, what will that response be? And I believe that's his question to all of us. What will our response be to the areas of grief in our life? In Ecclesiastes 1 and 18, it says, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. Interesting. It says, to increase knowledge only increases sorrow. And I want to look at that in light of verse 3 first. And it says, God blesses those in Matthew 5 and verse 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And what I want to do right now is take the definition of blessed and read Matthew 5 and 3 with the definition of blessed from the Greek, as well as the original Greek rendering of the scripture. And I want you all to see how it renders. In Matthew 5 and verse 3, in the Greek rendering of this verse, it says, there is a hidden blessing of resting in God's love to realize our own utter helplessness and need for him, causing us to put our whole trust in God to produce depth from within. Man, that's powerful. That's the blessing. The blessing is that we're able to realize that without God, we can do nothing. And I know that's interesting and that's great in theory, but in all practicality, the moments that you and I feel overwhelmed with life is the indication that we're attempting in one area or another to accomplish something without the divine intervention of God. And what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those. There's a hidden blessing to those who realize that we can do no thing apart from God, and that not some of our trust, not part of our trust, but all of our trust is placed on Jesus. And I want you right now to think about what has been overwhelming you and be honest in this moment. Be honest with the thoughts, the racing things that are going through your mind, the inability to get rest or to sleep without waking up. What has been weighing you down? And it's in that area that you're thinking right now that you have yet to rely the whole of your trust onto God. And you see, the blessing in realizing that we're utterly helpless without God is the blessing in realizing, as it says, the end of verse 3, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to notice that. It didn't say that we are going to work to earn the kingdom of God. What it's saying is that when you realize that you're helpless in the natural, you spiritually have been given everything you need to accomplish what you realize you're helpless in. So whatever area you may feel helpless, if you just cease from your own way of doing things, you cease from your own way of accomplishing things, you cease from your own way of planning the outcome of things, then you'll realize that the wisdom you need will produce the answer for every situation in life. As it says in the King James, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What it's saying is, blessed are those who realize that in your own intellect, it doesn't measure up to God. And anytime we believe that our intellect is on the same level as God's intellect in whatever situation of our life, we are walking in self-deception. And here's the danger in walking in self-deception. Self-deception is a person who feels like they are stuck inside of a box. They feel like they can't go anywhere. They feel like they're confined on all sides. Have you been there like I have? Well, what you realize through self-deception and bumping your head enough times is when you actually go to the Lord and say, God, listen, I've run out of options. He says, the only reason that you feel confined is because you've limited your perspective of the situation. If you limit your perspective of your situation to what you can do, then you're going to limit the options that you have to actually get the job done. And so he says, blessed are those who realize their own utter helplessness, who put their whole trust in God. But I want to look at another aspect of grief, and it's in verse 4. And it says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, this particular verse has two meanings. One is a literal meaning, and the other is a figurative meaning. I want to talk about the literal meaning first, and I want to end with the figurative meaning because it transitions into Christ's next theme of the Sermon on the Mount. But literally, God cares about those who have experienced mourning. And I want to talk to any person who may have lost a loved one, who may have lost a friend, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a best friend. Whoever you are, there's a blessing in your mourning. You see in Psalm 13 and 8, rather 34 and 18, it says, the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Where's the blessing in loss? The blessing is realizing that you're not alone. And no one can tell you how long the grief cycle lasts or the stages or the phases of grief last. It's no one's place to determine. But what we can say today is if you purpose that in the midst of grief, no matter how it shows up, you are going to remind yourself to say, God, you are with me. Charles Spurgeon said, we see God's smile of love even when others see nothing but the black hand of death smiting our best beloved. See, those who are willing to deal openly and honestly with the pain of loss, notice that as they face it and deal with it with the help that comes from the power of Holy Spirit, they emerge stronger, deeper, and better able to handle the grief of others. Have you been there as David was in Psalm 13, 1 and 2, where he says, oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? Have you been hurting so bad where you felt like everyone else's prayers are being heard, but God, do you hear me? Why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? Why did this have to happen now? David says, how long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? You see, in the midst of loss, especially for those who have named the name of Christ and those who have transitioned in the faith, That loss is but a temporary, I'll see you later, so that we'll be reunited together in heaven. Christ, I believe, understood that one of his main missions in this earth is to be near the brokenhearted. Because those who work through pain and grief are best able to walk alongside others who are hurting and are experiencing grief. I don't know what you may be still grieving, whether it's the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job or whatever is going on. As you trust it into the hands of God, the blessing of receiving his strength enters your life to produce depth from within. I'm reminded of Jesus as he reappeared to his disciples who were hurting. He was true to his word about being near to those who were brokenhearted. In fact, when Jesus was coming to visit his disciples, they heard he was going to be back, but they didn't necessarily believe he was going to be back. Does that sound like us from time to time? We hear what the Bible is saying, but do we really believe what the Bible is saying? But even in that, Jesus appeared to them to be near to them and to show them what they need to see in order to be comforted. There may be some of you who are watching and you have questions about loss that has taken place. You need answers and you just don't have them. I want to invite you to say, God, I'm not going to find answers in my own strength. I need you to give me answers. I need you to give me comfort. And he promises to be near to you in these times. Can I pray for you today? I just believe that as we've talked about grief, this is not an easy topic, but it's one that Jesus came to this earth to help us deal with. He didn't want us walking aimlessly. And quite honestly, I believe that if we don't deal with grief, grief will deal with us. That it's impossible to look at the other themes of Christ's message if we're just completely weighted down by the pain that's in our life. By the Spirit of God, I feel the hurt, the pain from those who are watching, who've experienced life at some of its worst points. And I want to let you know that there is no distance in prayer. And that sometimes you may feel foggy, but God is right there to help clear the path. And this first theme in the hidden blessing is he wants you, even in this season, to realize that he is so real and that he's so true. Amen. Amen. Can I pray for you today? If you're out there and you've experienced grief and it just seems overwhelming, can we take the first step and pray together? There's some information that's coming up on the screen, and I want you to text me and say, will you pray with me? And I know specifically that I'm to pray for you as you walk through this season, as God desires for you to live through the hidden blessing of even right now. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters who are watching today and have experienced loss and is just constantly coming back up and constantly reminding them of the pain in which exist. But even in the midst, Lord, you said there's a blessing. There's a hidden blessing in resting in your love, a hidden blessing in knowing that you're near to those who are brokenhearted, who are experiencing change, who are experiencing grief. And I'm asking for your power to meet them. You are so wonderful, God. Father, for any person who is making a decision for you right now, to live for you, to find the blessing in knowing you, God, I'm asking that you be there for them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you pray with me, again, send me a text that says, I prayed with you. I want to know so that we can walk alongside each other in this journey called life. What some of you may or may not know is that we're committed to the holistic healing of individuals. It's not just pray, forget it, that's it, and we're over. No, prayer is the first part. But there are times that we have to go beyond prayer, whether it's joining a Churches That Heals group, where you have accountability, or leading a Churches That Heals group, where we take 6 weeks to just deal with what's going on in our life through the Word of God, or maybe even taking it a step further and getting professional help from a professional counselor. Here at the Outlet Community, we have partnered with 180 Counseling Practice, and for every person who says they're either a member or a friend, so you don't even have to be a member of the Outlet Community. All you have to say is that I'm a friend of the Outlet Community. We are going to contribute $100 toward your session. And so it's our way of supporting and saying that, hey, we're going to do all we can as a church in the spiritual realm, but we're also going to do all we can in the natural realm to help bring about a holistic healing. If grief recovery and rebounding from grief and finding the positive from the moments of grief in our life were important to Jesus, well, they're important to us as a church as well. And I want you all to be able to do just that. Well, today as we close, we're going to receive today's offering, and I want to thank you all so much for your continued support here at the Outlet Community. From the bottom of our heart here, thank you. With every gift that you have sown, we have been able to continue the work of the ministry, and it's our heart's desire to just continue to make even more of an impact in our community. We're going to be having our family meeting immediately following our 10 a.m. broadcast. So if you're watching on demand or you're watching at a different time than our 10 a.m. broadcast, I want to let you know that we're going to invite you to meet us on Zoom. We're going to give you some updates as to how we're looking to gather again back in person. Also, as promised, we raised some designated funds in the month of August for two projects, and we want to be accountable to you as far as what was raised and what went out concerning those projects. So we want to give you all specific numbers and details. We want to be accountable anytime we raise specific funds for a specific project. We want to invite you to meet us inside of our what we call our home lobby, our virtual lobby on Zoom. There's information that's coming up on the screen, as well as inside of the chat and the notes for today. I'm really looking forward to seeing you all, to loving on you all, giving you updates about what is to come as the Outlet Community Church moves forward. There's some information now coming up on screen as to how to partner and participate with giving. You can give two ways. You can give online at theoutletcommunity.com/give, or you can give by texting 783-285. It's on the screen. Y'all see it on the screen. I forgot what the number was, but text that number and the letters TOC, and you'll be able to complete your gift on today. Yes, my team is laughing at me right now because these are the moments that we are not editing out, because we're getting back to being live at 5 in Jesus' name. So we look forward to seeing you in our family meeting on Zoom. We look forward soon to being able to gather in person. God bless you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, may he guard your heart and mind. May he shine his face upon you and bring you peace. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Get ready for the best week of your life in Jesus' name. God bless. See you next time.